Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with the Beacon Podcast. Today, we are going to crack open the skull, dive back into the human mind, and discuss the different methods that the human brain likes to learn with. Also, we're going to correlate some of these findings with a scary new control system that's being set up in China, and what all of this has to do with your credit score.
No actual skulls were harmed in the recording of this show.
Not yet.
Thank you for downloading the Beacon Podcast. We're so glad you are here. It's great to have everybody back. And we are thinking about the future on this episode.
Yes.
Would you say so?
Yes, sir. Today, we help to blow your minds again.
Minds.
We are going to start off with talking about how the brain works and go through some breakthroughs that have been made in the last 100 years that they've really kind of narrowed down how the brain works, almost like a human computer.
All brains, like, or just human brains?
Like a computer system. All brains. Not just human brains, animal brains. Yeah,
and we're pretty similar in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, very similar.
The way we what they choose found. To learn, and
for sure. And then we're going to take and show how that knowledge, if that's put in the hands of an oppressor or an oppressive system, how much control one can actually yield over another by using some of these methods.
Well, that's no peachy bueno.
It's not bueno. It's not bueno. Let me cut these fellas. You know what? I won't cut
it's
them completely out.
I like this jam. Yeah.
I'll cut it down.
Yeah, a little background itch.
We'll put it way
What's
down.
The name of this band?
This is 21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
21
Not related
Pilots.
To Stone Temple Pilots.
No, just 21
Maybe
Pilots.
Maybe they are, and we don't know.
And they're kind of funny because they have a popular song out that's called Stressed Out that probably a lot of people have heard.
Stressed Out?
Stressed Out.
Oh, I've been stressed out.
And in the music video, have you been?
Good. I didn't know people still made music videos. I'm learning something
video.
Every day already on the Beacon Podcast. Learning shit. I can't believe it.
Right?
My mind.
We're not
blown.
Even. We're 3 minutes and 36
and
seconds.
And I learned that
this.
People still make music videos. Isn't that a great?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but they just put it on Vevo now.
Not on MTV.
Right.
Okay.
So this guy in the music video wears a red cap. And a red cap, if anything could be coincidental, but the style of cap is it's a Phrygian cap, and it goes back to the old mystery schools, the Phrygian mystery schools, and the Phrygian cap is they used it as a phallic symbol, and that goes back to like ancient Egypt where they were using that
yeah.
to basically depict the head of a dick.
Well, he could be a Limp Bizkit fan.
Did Limp Bizkit do that?
Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like famous for wearing a red hat.
Oh, a red hat. Well, this is a cap. It looks like a Santa Claus cap. The Phrygian cap. It's like a knit beanie.
Yeah.
But it's got it looks like a penis head.
I was just trying to make a joke.
Now, Limp Bizkit does look like a dickhead, so don't get me wrong.
But what?
No, he's kind of a douche.
Really?
Yeah. Durst?
I don't, you know, they haven't been around since what? 2000, so...
Yeah, I don't know. He's just trying a little too hard, you know?
I don't even think they're trying anymore. I think they're just gone.
Yeah, okay, he was. I'm not sure what he's doing now. He could be a very nice guy now. I don't know.
I think he's a tattoo artist.
But, you know, maybe now he's not singing about chocolate starfish and hot dog flavored water.
know? And saying that every other verse. Yeah, baby, yeah.
But really want to know.
Don't be a hater, dude.
Oh. You like Limp Bizkit, don't you?
No. No, well, they did do a song with Method Man. Well, dude, I'm not saying they had some okay songs. I'm not saying I'm a fan of them.
I didn't always dislike them.
I'm not saying I'm a huge fan, but I'm... Most of their stuff sucked, but they had a couple good songs.
Have you been to a concert of theirs?
No, I would not do that.
No, he's okay. He kind of rode Korn's coattails, too. I was a big Korn fan, and I was like, Biscuit's really kind of trying to jack Korn right now.
Oh, they were?
Yeah. That's what I thought, but... So maybe I'm...
We're dating ourselves. We sound like old guys.
Yeah.
So you consider yourself a big Korn fan?
Do I? No, not now.
Why?
But I was. After, when the first and second album were out, I was into it.
And you were like, what, eighth grade or so? Or God.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe somewhere in there. Seventh, eighth grade.
No, they had some good songs too. But it's weird, like, some bands, like, when you're younger, you loved, and now you just don't go back to them. But there are those bands that you loved at the same time that you still love.
Oh, STP?
Yeah.
STP, Pearl Jam. Some of these are like timeless in my book.
Yeah. Like Social Distortion for me is one of them. Bad Religion for me is all time forever. But then like there's all those bands like you forgot. Like, oh, I remember this, you know? Maybe we should come back to some Korn someday. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. You know what I think? I think he like fried his voice out on the first two albums. And then he kind of got this like thing going on, yeah, to where he couldn't scream anymore, and so he tried to pretend like he was screaming, and it just sounded weird. He'd be like, bah, bah, bah. Yeah. And I'm like, just stop.
I thought it was, I think I was more interested in Korn because the bagpipes, they play the bagpipes,
yeah,
well, he does, or whatever, the lead singer, and I like the bass playing and the drumming in it more than everything else. That's what I kind of liked.
That bass player was awesome, and he was very original, I thought. He's kind of... Nobody else sounded like him at the time.
It kind of sounded like he was playing like with his strings a little loose.
For sure, loose. Like a little... With a slap method.
And it would do a little distort. It would distort more.
I think he was using a 5-string. I think he added like an extra low string.
Yeah.
And it was just deep.
Deep, yeah.
And back then it was like, oh yeah, gotta have more bass.
All about the bass.
I was about that bass. Yeah.
But anyways, back to what we're... Have you been? It's been a while since we've done the show.
Yeah, it has.
How long has it been? Month?
A month and a half? 2 months, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah. Too long. Too long.
But you took your wife shooting today?
Yes.
How did that go?
It went good. She's getting a lot better.
Oh, that's scary.
We're trying... It is scary. But she is, like, we're increasing the distance of the targets.
Wow.
So that obviously improves your accuracy if you're able to shoot, you know, the same size thing further and further away. So she's actually doing great. She's got a revolver, and she's doing awesome with. I have her shooting my 9. She's now doing really good with that, and she's, like, learning, like... she knows like the functioning of it really well. We take a shotgun out, and she's good at that. That used to be kind of intimidating for her because, you know, it's a 12 gauge and those things are always have some kick, and she's tearing it up with that. And I just got an AR, and wow. It's, I'm having problems with it. I bought it used, and it's having an issue with there's the gases that come that are in the chamber are supposed to come up into this gas tube that come back to the rear of the gun and are supposed to push the bolt back, reload a new round, and it's not doing that. So I think I have a clog in that gas tube. So no big deal. We'll just go in there and
clean
it out. But yeah, it's fun. It's good.
Yeah, I've been wanting to buy a gun or two. I went to Bass Pro Shop yesterday.
Oh, you did?
But I don't want to buy a registered gun.
Yeah.
But I don't want to disclose too much information on that.
Yeah. Right. There's a new proposed legislation in California, AB 1663 and AB 1664. These are, if you have a gun that accepts a magazine of 10 rounds, also if it needs a bullet button, basically like your AR setups, mm-hmm. but some other guns fall into that category, that they are now, they would now be, if these pass, they would be considered assault weapons, and you have to go re-register them as assault weapons.
I would argue that if somebody was hitting me with a fucking hammer, I'm being assaulted, and that is his weapon.
Yeah, for sure. It's his, the silliest, stupidest thing. California is just so
fucking lame.
Crazy. But and if you do not get this thing registered as an assault weapon, they said you are guilty of a felony. You could be subject to imprisonment, fine, and confiscation. So it's like,
damn.
Well, they tried to do something similar to this in, I think it was Connecticut. Yeah, Connecticut. They estimated that there was 350,000, quote-unquote, assault weapon owners in Connecticut, and I think less than 50,000 people actually went and registered them as assault weapons, which is beautiful, because they're basically telling the government to fuck off. And this is infringing on my right to keep and bear arms, and you're not allowed to infringe based off the Second Amendment. This is why, if you guys don't know your rights, then you don't have them. You have to know your rights, and your right is you have the right to bear arms, and it shall not be infringed. And infringing is such a genius word that they used, that registration is considered infringing.
I believe so, yeah.
Yep. So, you know, a lot of people in Connecticut
said, but what about the argument of, well, when they wrote that, they had muskets and it took like 10 minutes to load it, and you had one shot, and then you had to go out and go melt down some metal and make another bullet and pack it in there. And
yeah. You know, well, it depends.
The argument is they compare weapons from the day when it was written.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that either. But
well, here's the thing, is the reason why they needed the Second Amendment back then was the same reason that we need it now. And it is to thwart government tyranny. They were very explicit about that. It was not for hunting. It said, I think the actual words are, a well-organized militia being necessary to a free state, a free society. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, in no way, I don't know how they get hunting out of that. You know, it's talking about having a free state. It's, yeah, that it's necessary for a free state. Well, how do you not have a free state? Well, that's tyrannical government is not a free state. And so, you should have the arms. It just says arms. You should have the arms that are required to keep your ass free. That's how I read that, and mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody else could read it differently. And then you see in, like, especially like liberal media, that you know, it's all about hunting. They were talking about hunting because the people had to forage.
Yeah, because you need a militia to go kill a deer, right?
Yeah, and it's necessary.
And
for
a deer might
state.
Attack you and try to take your weapons.
I don't know, man. Hordes of deer are coming, just fucking raping people.
Oh, that'd be horrible. They are pretty horny.
Are they? Rabbits.
No, it was a
dog. You got me on the flamingo one.
Flamingo?
Do you remember that? I think I said that ostriches bury their heads in the sand or something like that. And you were like, no, dude, that's flamingos. Oh, no, the other way around, I think. Whatever. Okay. I still don't know.
Okay.
I don't think.
Flamingos lift their leg up. Ostriches put their head in the sand.
Oh, okay.
But ostriches are no joke, dude.
Now I'm getting schooled again on the same thing.
They're basically walking dinosaurs. They're like little, like, an ostrich. Have you been close to an ostrich in real life? Look at their legs.
I have.
They look like velociraptor legs.
Yeah.
And they kick
scaly.
At you. Like, their legs bend opposite of human legs. Like, it's like reversed.
Yeah.
So when they kick you, that shit is coming at you way harder than Bruce Lee's ass. They could disembowel you with their little sharp toe thing. Dinosaur toe, dude.
I've heard recently that every time you see a bird, you're basically looking at a dinosaur.
They're lizards that are evolved.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing from what I understand. We have no idea. All we have is their skeletons. But they even have on some of the velociraptors, I think, some like attachments into their skull where they think they actually did have like hair or feathers.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about a feather and look at a scale. It's very similar, but like a feather would be like a scale kind of dried out and like open more.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at scales, they lay down just like feathers do.
Yeah, you're right.
And then my brother, he had a pet bird when he was a younger guy. And dude, like I swear toads. That fucking thing, like I'd hold it on my finger and when it'd blink, oh my God, it was all lizardy, dude. It was crazy. And like, it was a real friendly bird. And like his little feet would be like grabbing your finger. And it's just, it looks just like a lizard.
Yeah, but
man,
you don't know what that thing's thinking, man.
Oh yeah, he wanted to claw my eyes out.
You know what's weird though, is some of those things are super smart. Like, is it parakeets have the intelligence of like a 5-year-old kid? They can like add, they can have like basic sentence structures.
Oh, wow.
Like, a lot of them are really smart, but old, too. A lot of them are fucking old.
Well, they repeat.
Like 50
think about what a 5-year-old kid does. If you say the F word, the kid's going to say the F word.
So, fuck.
You know, it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. And I think that's, like, the end of the...
Seen the... there's a YouTube video that I saw of this bird, and it's called, like, the Grouchy Bird or something like that. But the owner is taking the bird cage, and he's like... Yeah, screw this thing. And he puts it on the ground and he starts smashing the shit out of this bird's cage. And the bird's just sitting there watching it happen.
It's like, that's my home, fucker.
And dude, the bird starts cussing him out. The bird starts going, fucking, fuck. And it's hilarious because you know that bird has heard his owner like just go into like... rants.
Yeah, he's only repeating what he's heard.
Yeah,
he's not saying it in Chinese or Spanish or whatever else, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh, good times.
How about you? How have you been?
Good, man. Went to Mammoth last weekend, did a little snowboarding.
Ooh, how was that?
It's beautiful. That's why we're drinking this beer we are drinking right now.
Oh, that's
from Mammoth Brewing.
Tell them what you got.
We got a growler of Epic IPA, which is delightful.
But, from Mammoth Brewing Company.
From Mammoth Brewing,
yeah.
It is
delicious. He got a growler of it for the show.
Yes.
So we're sipping.
I've been saving that for this episode.
It's so awesome.
But went up there with Zeke and his parents and family and stuff. It was awesome. Had a great time. The first day we got there, like, I got there on Friday. I'm usually off on Fridays. Woke up in the morning. I had to do quick little things at work and then bounce, dude. And got there about noonish. Sun was out. Went snowboarding. I was wearing a t-shirt. It was hot out. It was beautiful.
You snowboarded? Yeah, I love it when I can do it.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And you can't do that at icy places because you crash and you're going to get skinned up. But you do it at Mammoth and you crash and you just get a little cold.
I crashed a few times. The next day it was a little colder, but people would prefer that because the snow stays longer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool about Mammoth, man, like every time I get on the lift... I've talked to people from all over the world just going on a ski lift. Like,
yeah, it's cool.
I talked to this lady from Switzerland.
If you like meeting new people.
Absolutely, yeah. If you just want to shoot the shit. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're cruising up on this thing. It takes a while. Sometimes it gets stuck.
Yeah.
You know. And I can't not notice someone's accent, you know. But two people I rode with, it was like this little kid, bro. He was like probably 7 or 8, snowboarding with his dad. And they're from England. Badass little kid, dude, just snowboarding all day, you know. They're going on holiday, so for a month they're out there on vacation. You know, well, they're not just in Mammoth, but all over the place, but
yeah,
how they do in England.
Sure.
This lady from Switzerland, she gave me a hard time because I don't wear a helmet. You know, brain bucket. I'm going, well, if I was going to hit jumps like big time, I would wear a helmet, but
yeah,
I just cruise. You know.
I probably will eventually get a helmet, but I don't either.
No.
You know? And I actually have fallen pretty bad and
hit your head?
Cracked my head. Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe eventually. It's smart, but, you know, it's not like... Should they write a law on it? No.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. But it was great. It's so beautiful up there. Just, you know, you were talking about being stressed out earlier, or the video stressed out.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, I don't try to get stressed out, but like, you know, it's part of working, it's part of life, you know, being a human. And I just needed to go, man, bad. And the drive was bitching. I drove up by myself. Unfortunately, Marina was unable to get off work. And
oh, bummer.
So it was a cool little drive in my new truck, dude, cruising up, tunage, whatever I wanted to listen to. And it was awesome. It's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
That's had a great
cool.
time.
How many days were you up there for?
3 days. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Hit that's the brewery. Cool. Yeah.
Did you guys, where'd you stay?
They have this like condo, like lodge thing that they rent every year, and fold out couch and crash on that.
Perfect.
Grilled. Perfect. It's a barbecue, and that's what I love, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool, man.
But that's cool. Yeah, that's that. That's all that's new in my life.
Yeah. Well, good. Now that we're caught up.
Let's do the fucking show.
Let's get into some nitty gritty. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is because the show is about learning styles and how the human brain actually learns, the trailblazer really in how the brain works and how the brain learns is a Russian named Ivan Pavlov. And so we're going to give you a little clip and listen. What he discovered became something called classical conditioning.
Psychologists have come up with new views, not only of animal behavior, but of human nature as well. And these views all concern a process that we take for granted, learning, because we are all truly born to learn. Ironically, one of the most important figures in the study of learning, Ivan Pavlov, wasn't concerned with the subject at all, at least not at first. Pavlov, a noted Russian scientist, won the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine in 1904. As this original footage shows, Pavlov was initially interested in digestion and the action of the salivary glands. By diverting the saliva of dogs into test tubes, he could precisely measure if and how much they salivated during digestion. When food was presented, the dog salivated quickly, an inherited salivary reflex. But over repeated testings, a strange thing happened. The dog salivated before contact with the food. Just the sight of the food was enough to stimulate their drooling. Then, just seeing the food dish, or even hearing the footsteps of Pavlov or his assistants, was enough to trigger this built-in reflex. What was going on to elicit this response? Pavlov decided to find out by systematically varying the stimuli and measuring the dog's reaction. Metronomes, lights, and bells were all used as stimuli, and they all worked as stand-ins for the food. What mattered was not the kind of stimulus that was used, but the fact that it reliably signaled that food was on the way. Pavlov had discovered a fundamental type of learning called classical conditioning. An original stimulus elicits an automatic unlearned response. Both stimulus and response happen naturally. They are unconditioned. Then a second, neutral stimulus that never elicits the unconditioned response by itself is introduced just before the presentation of the original stimulus. If the neutral or signaling stimulus is presented alone, and a response occurs as if the original stimulus were still there, we say that conditioning has taken place. The arbitrary neutral stimulus becomes a conditioned stimulus. The reverse is also true. Pavlov and others studied the extinction over time of such conditioned responses. When the subject learns that the conditioned stimulus no longer signals a desired event, the acquisition process is reversed, as the learned connection is gradually weakened.
ringing the bells with no response.
The work of those who followed him led to a remarkable conclusion, and that is any stimulus an organism can perceive is capable of eliciting any reaction the organism is capable of making. This means that virtually any sound, sight, or smell can influence the way our muscles tense or relax, our moods fluctuate, or even the way our attitudes are formed. For instance, if I say, relax, and then do this, you're going to be startled and upset. After 5 or 6 pairings of relax, just saying the word relax is going to generate a negative response rather than its usual learned reaction.
Yes, so that's classical conditioning. And just to kind of review, Ivan Pavlov found out, and he was actually studying salivation, but what he came across was classical conditioning, is that when you tie in a stimulus with a response, so if he knows he wants salivation, then what he does is he ties in ringing a bell with feeding a dog some food. And every time he feeds the dog some food, he rings a bell. Then after a while, and he can measure that the dog salivates, of course, because it's going to eat. After a while, a few times, he can just ring the bell and the dog starts to salivate because the dog knows he's going to eat.
Food's coming.
This is classical conditioning. And the important part of this is that people know is that it is... It is not subject to free will. Okay? There is the next form of learning that we're going to discuss is still subject to free will, technically. Okay. So the interesting thing also that I wanted to talk about Ivan Pavlov is there's not a whole lot of like reliable records on it, but at some point in his career he was noticed and he was he spent a lot of time cuz he was Russian. He spent a lot of time with V.I. Lenin. Which is very interesting when you have a guy who, for sure, all he cares about is controlling massive amounts of human beings, mm-hmm. spending time with Ivan Pavlov, who learned classical conditioning.
Yeah.
Is very interesting, right? Okay. So, let's move on to
the... So, I wonder what that came to today, like what little triggers we have.
Yeah. Well, what they also said is that for every thing that you can learn in that manner, you can also unlearn. And what that means is that, say, a dog learns that a bell is associated with meat, and he salivates. With meat.
Okay.
If you start ringing the bell and don't present meat with it, and you do it enough times,
it's just a bell.
The dog will unlearn it just as fast as he learned it. So you can be unconditioned also. It's just, who knows how far it's gone in society, you know, but it's just an interesting thing to know. We're going to get from that. We're going to go from that and we're going to go probably 20 years later to B.F. Skinner, and he developed upon Pavlov's discoveries, and he discovered, I think discovered is probably a good way to put it, something that he termed operant conditioning. So Pavlov's was called classical conditioning, and Skinner's is called operant conditioning. And I'll let the video do the talking.
I wish I could teach my dog better things, you know. My dog's a pain in the ass.
Oh, you could teach him all sorts of things.
Well, can I teach him to shit when we get home from the walk? Or shit before the walk.
Literally?
Don't shit when I get 4 houses down the fucking walk and I got to carry your goddamn shit for a fucking mile. Or he'll be like halfway. And then I swear, dude. Normally their shits are like... Well, the big dog is like 2 or 3 king-size Snickers bars. Pretty good ones.
King size Snickers?
Kings, maybe regular.
Okay, I'm trying to.
They're pretty fat.
Yeah, pretty fat. I mean, what kind of dog are we talking here?
German Shepherd. He's a German Shepherd.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's cool.
The little one.
It's not a poodle.
Well, we have a Chihuahua too, but it's like I get around the fucking block and I got to pick up this Tommy's Chili Burger shit off the goddamn sidewalk, and it's nasty, dude.
Nasty, soft, nasty.
Super
nasty.
It's chili. It's like chili. You know, Tommy's Chili, dude.
Yeah.
Not only that.
Maybe he needs some psyllium husk or whatever the fuck people.
Well, today, like, I was mowing the lawn, and I went and picked up all the dog shits, and I swear, he has to have a shit present in the backyard. I picked up all the shits, went and grabbed all the lawnmower, all that, brought it to the back, and then I had to stop, and there he goes. He shits right where I wanted to mow.
Yeah.
And I just picked up a freshie, dude.
Maybe that's his way of, like, claiming.
He's claiming it with his grabbage.
Maybe.
So...
But it's weird that he can produce crap that fast.
You know? Yeah, and it's not... It was quick because it was like the Tommy shit again.
You shouldn't be able to produce crap on demand. I mean, it should be like a process of digestion, right?
Oh, dude, it was anger shit.
It was an anger shit. Did he just look... I mean,
he's fucking with me.
Were you able to see him after he did this?
No.
Was he looking at you?
I wish.
Was he just staring at you like...
No, I caught it later on. I had to, yeah.
Giving you one of those, like, Scooby-Doo laughs, like...
No. But sorry, I broke into the Pavlov. I was just thinking about dogs, like...
No, it's good, because we have to fully develop an idea on this show.
And I had a neighbor, this lady...
To add to that.
Well, maybe a potential neighbor. Comes up to me the other day, and she's like, excuse me. Do you have a dog that barks really loud all day long? I go, well, I don't know. I mean...
I'd have been like, nope.
Yeah, and I was in a hurry, so I didn't really give her the time. And I could tell she's just this bitch from hell already, you know? And I go, well, not to my knowledge, you know, the neighbor next to me has dogs, and the neighbor behind them have dogs, and they all just get each other barking sometimes. But typically not unless somebody comes up close.
I got a new rock album, and it's just dogs barking, and I just crank that shit.
It's badass. It's Bark at the Moon. And so she's like, well, I'm going to have to look into this. Oh. She goes, who else has dogs? I go, well, I don't know who all has dogs, but I know the people next to me have dogs. I'm going to talk to them and make sure they know the regulations around here. Because buying this house, that's going to be a deal breaker for me. I go, well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to leave right now.
Yeah.
Because where do you live? I live right here in front of this fucking place where I'm getting in this vehicle, you know? So, but then I thought, well, man, I don't have to, like, deal with this bitch and have this problem.
Yeah, but you know what? It's her... I mean, is your dog, like, barking? Like, is it really that bad?
Yeah. I talked to the neighbor behind me. He's a cool guy. I go, hey, Gary, dude, does the dog bark a lot? He goes, yeah, dog barks a lot, dude. He goes, that dog starts to bark, and then he barks, and they all bark all day long. Like, all the neighbor dogs bark. Uh-huh. They're fucking dogs. Yeah. And so I was trying to find ways to train them not to bark, and they had this collar. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
Because I want the dog to fucking bark. That's why I got the fucking dog.
Yeah.
If something bad's happening, you know?
Yep.
But they had this one, it's like humane, and it'll shoot like air out. Like, when you bark, it goes psst.
And surprise them.
Like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But the thing is when we're not home, that's when they need to be barking.
And especially if you do the same thing, like when they bark and you're around, give them like the same sound, like psst, to where it reminds them of that, maybe.
Well, what I think I need to do is, like, when people get close, don't bark. But if they are at the door, then bark.
Yeah. You
know, I don't know.
That's tough.
I want the dog to fucking bark. Because I don't want people breaking into my place.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'll ask Lindsay, because she knows a lot about, like, dogs' brains and training them and that kind of stuff. So I'll ask. I'll bet there's got to be a way, because brains are just complicated computers.
Yeah, because, like, when a fire truck goes by, or whatever, ambulance, he howls. Well, our little Chihuahua, she never howled forever since we had her. Now she's learned how to howl. And so every time an ambulance goes by, he howls like a wolf. The neighbor dogs, they never howled either until we got this dog. Now they all howl.
Really?
And I always thought, well, it's because his ears are hurting him. Like, he has sensitive ears. You know, he has, like, bad allergies and stuff.
Maybe, but usually in nature they do it not because of that. They usually do it to join the pack.
We're going on a walk. We like to go on our walks. And dude, a fire truck went right by us, as loud as can be. As we're on our walk, no howling.
Yeah.
So something's something.
Yeah, they do it to be like part of the pack.
Part of the pack
to fit in with the pack. Yeah. So another dog's doing it around, then it's like, okay, I'll join
your
club. Yeah, we're all howling.
But, it's, you know, I love dogs.
It's a social thing.
Well, sorry to change this topic, but I was thinking about, like, this, you know, trying to teach dogs.
It's almost like college boys, like, that actually howl. Like, I don't think I ever was that kind of, like, a
douchebag
dude. But there are dudes like that that are, like, they get drunk and they're like, ow, ow, ow.
I think that was an 80s thing.
Man, I don't know.
They definitely watch too much Top Gun. They're Top Gun fans.
Are people just... They'll kind of like, yeah, woo, woo. And I'm like, who does that shit?
I've never just
felt the need to do that.
Maybe. I have.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disclose anymore.
Woo. You got to be having a lot of fun.
At a concert, like, that's the song I like. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. But what about just out of nowhere? House party.
Nick, we're doing shots, bro. You wouldn't say woo. Yeah. All right.
I'll probably take a shot, but I don't think I'd be like, yow.
What if a girl shows her boobs? And you're like, I always wanted to see those boobs.
Then you howl like a big moon wolf.
Maybe.
Okay, let's get back into Skinner. We're getting carried away. Okay, so that was Pavlov with classical conditioning. Now we're going to develop that idea into Skinner and operant conditioning.
While some scientists engineer shiny new consumer goods for an eager public, Harvard psychologist B.F. Skinner seeks nothing less than the engineering of human nature. In experiments with subjects as simple as pigeons, Skinner declares that with the right social engineering, we can create a new breed of human being. Skinner is firmly in the behaviorist tradition pioneered by John Watson in the 1920s. Like Watson, Skinner contends that with the right tools, we can predict and control behavior.
Skinner really inherited the mantle from Watson of behaviorism in this country. But it's kind of interesting to think about how there's a subtle difference in the way they went about it. Watson, as we know, ended up becoming an advertising executive, ended up embracing the American value system as it existed. Skinner was different. Skinner was a visionary. Skinner felt that through behaviorism, he could influence the world towards a greater humanity. Not meet humanity where it was, but take humanity to a new place through the principles of behaviorism.
Picking up where Watson left off, Skinner wants to do the rigorous science to prove that environment is everything. Change the environment, he argues, and you can change the individual. Or in Skinner's case, the pigeon.
Skinner himself was a born gadgeteer. He had in his own early years, as a boy, for example, he developed ways of sorting ripe, I think it was cranberries, from unripe cranberries. He invented a cannon that would shoot things over his neighbor's fence. This was the kind of man he was. He was developing new ways to do everyday things in ways that were more comfortable, more efficient.
During World War II, Skinner had developed a pigeon guidance device for the U.S. military. While the Russians had dogs carrying bombs, and the Swedes had seals to blow up mines, Skinner had a plan of his own. Teaching pigeons to guide missiles to an enemy target. At the time, however, the military had no missiles to guide. But Skinner's pigeon research did not go to waste. He develops a system called operant conditioning to prove that a behavior will be repeated by a subject when rewarded. Repetition leads to reinforcement. Reinforcement to changes in behavior.
This hungry pigeon is moving about more or less at random. Sometimes it turns its head to the left. When it does, we reinforce that movement by giving the pigeon access to a dish of grain.
Skinner then waits for it to turn further. again, more food. Ultimately, the pigeon will turn in a complete circle, having learned that only when he turns will he be rewarded.
What Skinner was able to do in very carefully controlled studies with animal models was they demonstrate that whole chains of behaviors could be built step by step, so that literally you could teach a pigeon to do complicated behaviors that no one would have predicted possible.
And Skinner believes that if it works for pigeons, why not people? In Skinner's mind, behavior is behavior, up and down the evolutionary scale, and it is all learned. One of the great successes is in education. People are taught to do more complicated tasks than anyone had thought possible by breaking down behavior into small steps and giving positive reinforcement along the way.
The essence of Skinner's work was that we could manipulate the environment in ways that would permit us to produce any kind of behavior that we wished, and we could develop individuals in ways that made every possible future open to them.
The idea that anything is possible.
So what they're saying is that you can take and you can extend this, and it's not just pigeons. They found that this works on dogs. They found it works on, I actually saw a Skinner box that was, that taught a goldfish how to turn around.
Wow.
Goldfish, like something that has an absolutely, the smallest brain you can think of.
Do they have no memory, goldfish?
I don't know.
3 seconds or something?
I don't know. But they were able to teach him with the Skinner box. They were also able to teach him to differentiate and do a certain task when there was a light on and a certain... and
a pigeon?
No, a goldfish.
Oh, a goldfish. Oh.
And to not do a task when the light was off. You know, like, and so it works on just by nature of like how the brain works. And humans... it works for them as well, is what they were able to find out. So, that has some major... That's where the rest of the show is going to go.
Well, I mean, like, the quote and the thing you played there. Repetition leads to reinforcement. Like, I'm big on, like, the repetition here. Like, that got my...
Yeah.
Because, like, a direct Hitler quote was, people will believe anything as long as you repeat it enough.
Yeah.
Well, believe it as truth as long as you repeat it enough.
Yeah, he says, make the lie big, repeat it often, and people will believe it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. very similar. Now, Hitler did come after Skinner, you know? I mean, he came to power. But, I mean, all that stuff, all of this stuff with the mind was being developed during the days of Lenin, and then after that Hitler, and then, you know, like Stalin, Mao. You start getting into these guys that we talked about on previous episodes that have done atrocious things to people, but a lot of it has been through propaganda and social training, and they were very interested in this type of, I don't know if you'd call it science or technology or, you know, whatever your term for it is, but it's just interesting, you know, like, once you start getting into the realm of how the brain learns, there is powerful people that want that kind of information.
Not only that, but people's own, habits, you know, typically you go to work, you come home, you watch TV, you sleep, you go to work, you come home, watch TV, right? So if everything on the television is telling you McDonald's is not that bad for you, you know, it's kind of healthy. If you were repeated that all the time, or that McDonald's is healthy for you, eventually you would be like, let's eat McDonald's, go home, watch TV, go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Or something of that nature. You could be taught pretty much anything, or
sure,
made to believe something.
Well, and that gets into the realm of subliminals, and this is a tougher subject, To study, because this the subliminals are something that I think is very guarded by people like in the know.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you always see when they say something like that, somewhere on the screen there's going to be embedded the word sex or a breast or something like that, because such an intriguing thing to the human mind is it needs to be tied to that event of them telling you McDonald's is good. And then when the word good goes on, somewhere in there is sex. Because Sweet. There's a few things that the human brain just wants. It wants food. It wants sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look up on the internet and just look up sex subliminal advertising, you will see it's everywhere. Even the word sex is embedded into Disney movies. It's in Axe. Oh, you got to see this Axe ad. They make it so obvious. It says like sex right on the bottle of like cologne.
Well, that's the thing. Is like if you spray this on you, chicks are going to dig you.
Yeah, and
we all know that's true. Girls, you know you love that Axe.
That's what they're doing, right? They are appealing to, even though your conscious mind does not pick it up, the subconscious brain picks up so much more. And we discussed that further on our NLP show.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really cool show, how we were able to dive into how the different minds, they kind of are gatekeepers for different types of information.
Well, like Coca-Cola, for example, I remember seeing it's just a glass with ice and soda in it. Looks delicious, right? Refreshing. But when they really zoomed in on it,
yeah,
like the soda made a naked chick. Like,
yeah. So what your brain equates that to is
pleasure.
I mean, your subconscious brain that's smarter than your conscious brain. Your conscious brain is distracted with a lot of things. Your subconscious brain, sees that and goes, oh, there's a lot of pleasure up in that thing. I need some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does.
Or I'm attracted to sodas for some reason.
It's the same thing as sun symbolism. When you see like a BP, British Petroleum, and their symbol is the sun, or the Shell gas sign is the sun. You see solar symbolism everywhere. The reason for that is because the human brain has been trained through generations and generations to look at the sun and go, this thing gives life. This thing is important. And so the subconscious brain, when it sees the sun, it goes, I need that. Without that thing, we'd all be dead. And this is why a lot of the religious symbology is involved with the sun. And you get a whole subject called astrotheology where the sun is the savior, you know, and you could go into so many different subjects with that. But you get what I'm saying. Important things can be applied to the subconscious. This directly here through the operant conditioning is kind of a form of training. Hello, can you hear me? It's a form of training the brain to do more and more complex moves. If I wanted to train you to, like your dog, you wanted to train your dog to not shit
before the walk.
Yeah. So the operant conditioning
shit before the walk, not shit on the walk.
Yeah. The operant conditioning is broken down into four sections from what I've been able to see. Two major subdivisions. Those two major subdivisions are punishment and reward. Punishment can be broken into positive and negative punishment. And reward can be broken down into positive and negative reward. So it's either on the punishment side, you either give or take away a punishment. And on the reward side, you either give or take away a reward. And that all of these are different methods of reward versus punishment in order to influence behavior and train the brain.
I'm trying to think back as being a kid, and there was no reward in school. It was, well, you get a grade.
There is. A grade is a reward.
But they don't, and I feel this is a problem. They don't push, like, get straight A's anymore. It's just get you through, just pass.
Well, they
no
do
child left behind.
And another thing they say, don't get in trouble. Yeah. So that's like training you on the punishment side of things, right?
Yeah.
So this is the field of behaviorism, and behaviorism took a turn from psychology somewhere along the line, and it's absolutely kicking the shit out of psychology. Psychology is almost in a dead end street because it's trying to. I got you if you want that glass too, and there's brewskis in the fridge too.
Oh, sweet, thanks, man.
Yeah,
this is cool.
You're
talking about psychology kicking some ass.
Behaviorism is kicking psychology's ass. They're kind of like warring fields of study on the study of the mind and how it works and how to influence behavior. But behaviorism is absolutely blowing psychology out of the water. Because it's actually studying this operant conditioning, which kind of developed on classical conditioning. Yeah. So let's try to take this and use a little bit of like, let's take it forward a little bit from Skinner, and let's talk about how some of these Skinner box methods can actually be applied nowadays to influence people's behavior, shall we?
Let's move. Yeah, have you seen the flipping pigeons they do in the ghetto?
No.
Dude, they've taught, you know, because we're talking about pigeons here and Skinner and all that.
Sure.
There's clapping pigeons. And, like, you know, up in the hood in L.A. and stuff, you teach these pigeons, like, when you clap, mm-hmm. they do backflips.
Really?
And so like that's kind of how the gangbangers, like, let people know that the cops are coming.
Oh,
or other cool. gang members, whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah, and, like, they literally, they'll be flying, and they flip. You clap, and they do a flip in the air.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
It's way crazy.
Gangsters are gangster.
Pretty gangster.
All right. So, the modern application of the Skinner box.
So if Skinner could show that he could consistently change how often the pigeons pecked the button, he could show that he could condition them to make a specific choice. This is called operant conditioning. Now, there were two amazing parts to his findings. One, operant conditioning works on humans. Two, simply rewarding someone every time they do an action isn't the best way to keep them continually doing that action. Rather, if you provide a reward to a person after they perform the action a random number of times, or only give a reward once every so many minutes, these methods are far more effective at conditioning someone to repeat an action. Skinner often talked about operant conditioning in terms of gambling. Most gambling games are not rigged in the gambler's favor, and oddly enough, most gamblers are well aware of this. And yet, they continue to gamble rather than perform an equally strenuous job that has a regular payout with a higher net profit. Consider which activity people will tell you is more fun. Spending 8 hours in a casino playing the slots and ending up with $100, or pushing a button in a factory for 8 hours and getting a paycheck for $100 at the end. This is all compounded by another discovery of Skinner's research. He demonstrated that primary conditioners, or rewards that are fundamental biological needs, you know, food, water, sex, etc., have a diminishing effect once a person reaches satiation, or the biological limit of their needs. But then there are secondary reinforcers, things outside the biological realm, like money or social approbation. These things generally don't hit a satiation point. You can probably see where we're going with this. Many of you have played Farmville or World of Warcraft well past the point where it was fun. Why? Because those games are very clearly built around reward schedules. The entire design of both of those games is to condition you to continue to repeat an action that has long since lost its novelty, that has long since become tedious. Actually, before we continue, quick disclaimer. Being conditioned to do an action and being addicted to something are very different. We're not going to go into the addiction thing today, but I just wanted to acknowledge the difference. All we're going to talk about today is how games can condition us. Okay, disclaimer over. So why is it a problem if games do this? For now, let's ignore the questionable morality of using Skinner's theories to create games. The problem is that it's a lazy and cheap way to get someone to believe they're enjoying your product. Have you ever finished a game and then looked back a few weeks later and thought, what the hell was I doing putting 80 hours of my life into that? That usually happens because the game used Skinner's techniques to create the illusion of engagement and extend playtime. RPGs, especially poorly made ones, are a great example of this. Everything from loot drops to leveling is a very clear reward schedule that reinforces the behavior that gets you the reward. Ever been playing late and getting sleepy, but then decide that you're going to get just one more level before you go to bed? Yep. But this isn't just an RPG problem. It's endemic. Almost anything with points uses this system. Ask your grandmother sometime why she plays so much Bejeweled. But it goes beyond points, too. It works with anything that has a clear and manifest reward. Solitaire, the most played game in the world, sets up the infrequent win as a clear reward. Many action games use the same system to convince players to mash the same buttons for 12 hours straight. Even elements like the voiceovers and shooters that tell the player how awesome they are can be used as conditioning tools. It's also one of the main reasons every game is getting RPG elements these days.
So, I mean, we can see right there how video game users are actually using Skinner's methods to develop these video games. And what they're able to find is that as you were able to reward a pigeon to turn around, there is like a G amount of rewarding them, because there are certain things that the human body can get enough of. It can get enough food, it can actually get enough sex to where it doesn't want it anymore for a short amount of time. And those things, they found out through the studies that if you're able to there is a G amount, an interval of reward that actually works better than rewarding every time. So this is why when you play a video game and you come across a health pack every so often, that's your reward in the video game. And they're designing these video games based off of Skinner's methods that he found.
That's crazy. I'm not a big video game guy.
Me neither.
I'm like 35 years old. You know,
if we know right now that they are designing video games based off of that, what else could possibly be designed off of these methods?
Well, they use like gambling as an example, and like when you go to a casino, they're designed to keep you in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like stay here, like a little bling, bling, bling over here. Go left, go right.
Sound.
Yeah. Even the carpet, the way the carpet's like always noisy, just to be like constantly in this state of like, oh wow, like I'm being, there's all this,
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and I had a roommate. I used to have these roommates, and they were old. It's weird. They were older than me, but they were way into video games. And this was a long time ago, but I remember when they would get a new video game. And I'll use his name. I don't think he listens to the show, but it's okay. This guy, Jamie, my old roommate.
Oh, Jamie listens.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
What's up, Jamie? Dude, if he got a new game, like I remember when Grand Theft Auto came out. That was one of them. There's all these other ones, too. But he'd come home on his lunch break and try to knock out as much of this game as he could. Like, he was so...
That's all he thought about when he got home.
That's all he cared about.
Yeah.
He's married now, but at the time his girlfriend, she was in college, and like she'd come visit. Dude, do you think they went out and hung out and had fun? No, she'd watch him play these fucking video games.
Oh, like, she had to hate it.
Oh, she was pissed. I mean, they would go out every once in a while, but like she made a point like, hey, we're going out, motherfucker. I'm not gonna sit here and watch you play video games
all fucking night.
But dude, he was like, he had to do these video games until he passed them, or you know, beat these levels. And yeah, played all fucking night. Woke up as early as I did to go to work, and I never fucking got it, dude.
Oh.
Like what? It's well, just cartoons.
Our next clip kind of goes into that.
Okay.
I wasn't gonna play it till after our next segment, but since you segued into it, might as well, huh?
Sure, might as well. I mean, it blows my mind. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like, I'll play a video game here and there. Like when we're in Mammoth. The place we stayed at had like a Xbox or whatever, and Isaac's girlfriend has a kid, and he loves video games. So I said, "Let's play some Street Fighter." This fucking kid didn't even know what Street Fighter was. I was like, "Dude, I'm not a video gamer." And Street Fighter's the shit.
Everybody knows about.
So yeah, I had to show this little kid how to play Street Fighter.
Yeah,
I did all
you
can.
Never heard of Hadouken.
Oh, you can. Yeah, so I was busting those out on him. And he was Dalsum. I said, be Dalsum. He's a stretchy guy. He could punch farther. You know?
Yeah, he's like cheating.
But this particular game, like, we were a team. Like, you could tap and tap in or whatever.
Okay.
But I never got that much out of video games to, you know. Yeah. When I was a kid, yeah, it was cool. Mario Brothers,
play him for a little
but
bit.
But once you're an adult, it's like you're gonna come home on like is that's mo- so important. You gotta come home on your lunch break and play these fucking games.
No,
but I never understood it.
Yeah, no, I would. Yeah, well, you know, that's just different people have different strokes for different folks, and if you're not hurting anybody else, you're allowed to do whatever you want, but you're not doing yourself any favors, probably. Although they do say that it does develop, like, hand-eye coordination.
No, it does, and it has, I've also heard that it does problem-solving. It's really? Very good with problem-solving, yeah, video games. It helps kids be better problem-solvers. But you know what else is weird? That game, whatever game it could be, was so important to my roommates at that time. Like, they just had to get it done. And then once they passed it, it was like, hey, you want to play that game? No, that's old. That's dumb. I'm done with it.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
See, now that's psychology at work. They're using... So let me play this next clip, because I think it's really going to kind of help illustrate that a little bit.
Sweet.
Shooter, N2O, or even a really good session of the original Alien vs. Predator can bring a player to a sort of zen trance. We've all been there at one point or another. Your eyes enter soft focus, your blinking slows, your breathing becomes incredibly regular, and you are just doing. There is no controller. You and the screen are one. You've stopped thinking in the ordinary sense of cognition, and instead are working on some much deeper level. This is very hard to design for. It basically involves creating rhythm within play, and then slowly demanding the player to start performing actions faster and faster, building momentum until they're performing the actions faster than they could possibly think through them. It's hard to pull this off as a designer, but achieving this experience is deeply compelling in a game.
It's there are the designers know the like states of mind that they're trying to get somebody into, and that these states of mind will intrigue people and keep them there longer. But what they don't really want is they don't want them to beat the game and then to keep playing it. They want to beat the game and go buy the new one.
Yeah, part two.
So
part
once
three,
you're done with it, there has to be some kind of cue that releases them, you know? And at this point, there's so many different... I believe it's gotten so sophisticated now that good video game designers can probably...
Well, the new thing is going to be the 3D edge. And you're,
yeah.
Have you seen Oculus those? The Rift. Goggles?
Yeah.
And can I just say real quick, the way that guy talked just made me feel fucking uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah,
fast
yeah.
and shit. Like,
well, he likes doing like YouTube videos with helium.
That bothers me.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry to my listeners. I'm our kidding. Listeners. It's just God. Like,
no, that's not what
I
it
was
is.
Annoyed. Like it's information. It's cool, but like, fuck, dude. Like you're bothering me. You know.
It's something called extra credits. And that's their YouTube channel, and what they do is it's a cartoon, and so they speed it up so they can sound cartoony.
Yeah,
that's it. So, but it was great information.
Good information.
Had to play it.
Made me tense. I was all relaxed on my Mammoth Brewery beer, but it's all good. That's me.
Okay, so
back to the show.
What I'd like to do now is actually get into.
Sesame credit. That's what we came to talk about, homie.
Okay.
Can I just say real quick?
Yes.
I know I always throw us out of the fucking loop, but having margaritas with you and your wife was so much fun the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome, dude.
Oh, dude.
We had a blast.
I got a little more drunk than I was hoping to, but...
Well, thanks for taking us home.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I'm a pretty good drunk driver. But so sesame credit.
I just remember like at the end of that night, we're like, okay, we gotta go home. And I was like, okay, I should probably finish this margarita. And I was like, let me take a couple sips. And I was like, oh, there's a lot more left than I thought. And so I just kept sipping it. And I was like, oh, that
there's
was
a tequila
lot.
In there.
And I ended up getting pretty schnockered off it.
We kind of had a little headache edge going the next day. I think it was too much sugar in the margarita mix.
Lindsay actually had to teach classes the next day, and she was pretty
hungover. Huh?
Hungover, yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. It's all right, man. You only live once, you know? So, okay, sesame credit. Now, let's take these Skinner methods, and let's just, for right now, put that in the back of your head, and let's use a little imagination here. Use a little forethought. I'm going to talk to you guys about this program that is being implemented in China, okay? So this program is called Sesame Credit, all right? And if you'll just... Okay, so this Sesame Credit is China is starting to issue social credit scores, not credit scores.
Sesame Credit is a credit company now. It's like an Equifax, right? Like
it's like a
it's a real company now.
It's like a state approved.
Like we go through three credit companies now in America.
But in a totally socialist system, well, they got like a hybrid socialist system. So you will have a company, but it's state approved, which really means that it's like state sanctioned, right? Mm-hmm. So the state sanctions this Sesame Credit, and what this thing is. Instead of tracking how well one pays their bills, this tracks how good of a citizen somebody is. And it gives it assigns you a credit score based on that. It's a social credit score. Now, this is it's an online system, but it's massive. It's jointly run by a few different companies. One of those companies is called Tencent, and they're actually a video game producer.
Not as cool as 50 Cent.
But isn't that interesting? It's a video game producer.
You're damn right. Damn, dude, you're totally right.
Right?
Yeah, so, mind manipulation. Yeah, okay, okay.
Okay. And it's also in collaboration with a company that they have called Alibaba. And Alibaba is like China's
Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah. Yeah. It's like their Amazon. And it's in partnership with the Chinese government. All right? Now, this data...
Well, that's always good.
Oh, yeah. It's always
Chinese government always has their people's best interests.
Just imagine a Chinese man smiling. And that's like the advertisement for Sesame Credit. I love Sesame Credit. Sorry, that sounds racist. I'm not racist at all. Nick gave me a few beers. And yeah. Let me just continue well, no, like, my data. Wasn't... Sorry, buddy.
What no, dude, it's cool. I mean, would you ever want to like visit China on a vacation, though?
Oh, I'd love to.
I would like to. Just see what it's...
I'd if you're going to do it, you should do it. The sooner the better.
I mean, if you want to probably. Get cancer, just get, do it. Yeah.
Things just keep getting tighter in between us and them, our relations. So if you're going to do it, I would do it sooner than later. Okay, so data for this social credit scoring system. Data is taken from your social networks. It's like Facebook.
Instagramage.
Or MySpace.
Whatever.
Or Instagramage.
Twitterage.
If you share information on those social networks that is unfavorable to the state, your score goes down.
You can't say nothing bad about us.
Right? If you share information supported by the state news and information services, your score improves.
So you're getting a little treat.
Propaganda.
Turn left, pigeon.
Yeah. If you become a lie teller, I don't know. Okay, I'll try to keep my opinion out of this.
Fuck that. This is what our opinion is, dude.
Data.
Turn left, pigeon. Turn left.
Data is also pulled from your online purchases because it has tie-ins to that Alibaba.
So what are you buying?
Okay.
Pornographic videos.
Certain purchases hurt your score while others help it. Your score is ranked in tiers and levels like a video game. Your score is.
Wow.
Like a video game. So, when you're playing a lot of these video games and you're in Metroid and you go to the next level and it's awesome because you get to experience a whole different world, could this be training you for something else? A higher score has real-life benefits, like the ability to get loans easier and government paperwork priority, like travel documents.
Hotels.
Who knows? Essentially, you could see this tying into all aspects of life.
You want to go out to a restaurant with your old lady?
Reservations.
And they'll go through your Sesame Credit score and be like, oh, yeah.
So far, there is no punishment for having a low score. And I should say, so far, in China, this is a voluntary system. Okay.
But they want to mandate it by 2020, I believe, no?
Participation in the project is voluntary until 2020, when it will be required for all citizens. So in China, 2020 strikes, you will be socially scored. We're not making this up. This is legit. This is real life. This is happening in the world.
But I wonder if, like, I could help score you. You know, like, let's say I'm your douchebag neighbor that doesn't appreciate your dog shitting on my lawn or whatever, where the fuck it is, right? Can I call in and be like, oh, by the way, Matt's score is a little high in my book because his sprinklers were hitting the gutter the other day.
Could complaints be in there?
Kind of like the old witch burning shit, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The Inquisition.
Yes. What do you think about that? Do you think that's like that's got to be a thing? Like, how are they as a neighbor? Like that. Well, like, when you do your taxes,
I see it happening right now in America. The infancy of it. I see that I'm getting gas points when I go to the grocery store. I'm getting, you know, rewards points here and there. I'm
for
getting,
credit card usage and all that.
Yeah. When I'm on Amazon as a buyer, I get rated. When I'm on eBay, I get rated. I'm
as
a power
an Uber
seller.
Rider.
As an Uber rider, I'm getting rated, right?
As it pertains to Uber, I dig it.
What's that?
As it pertains to Uber, I dig it. Like,
sure, but
in free market capitalism, like,
but if we
you
don't
provide the best service, you get the best customers, right?
Sure, but
or no,
also,
you get more customers.
Could we also extrapolate that if we don't get a hold of our government, it will use these same systems to enslave us?
Can we judge them? Hey, DMV, can you be a little better, please?
I doubt it.
It never works that way.
Unless you can actually do the employees.
Hey, TSA
DMV.
Fuckers, can you stop being fags?
Right.
Sorry, homosexual. That was a bad term, but
there has
anyways,
been.
The thing is, like, okay, Uber works. We have free market capitalism. Uber fucking is the shit, dude.
I love Uber.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if.
Which, I mean, not to say anything good or bad about it,
by
but
judging their riders, they're protecting their drivers. Right? If I'm a dickhead that pukes all over your car and punches you in the face because you don't go stop at Taco Bell, I'm not going to get picked up as quickly as
I don't think
somebody
the judging
who,
system is bad. But when it becomes owned by the state, then it becomes
but in
bad.
Free in a free market, it's good for everybody.
Yeah. And, so
and I believe if you want to be an Uber customer, you want that 5-star rating so that maybe you won't be such a douchebag.
Or if you don't like the rating system, don't get an Uber driver. Don't be long to Uber. And maybe something else will pop up, you know, in the free market. Who knows?
Take the cab that smells with a weird fucking guy that.
Yeah, if that's what you like, if that's your fancy, there'll always be a market for anything, right? There has been some speculation that once the project is mandatory, punishments will be implemented, such as slower internet speeds and limitations of what job you can hold.
Wow.
So what's interesting about that is we did a whole show on internet speeds, and it was called Net Neutrality for Freedom Lovers. And we talked about different people getting different internet speeds based off how much they can pay.
Yeah.
Well, what if it was actually based off of your social score?
Yeah.
You know?
You might not agree with the government in this, you know, or
we're going to throttle you down a little bit.
If you show pictures of, what was that? Damn, I can't remember. Never mind. I'll pass up.
You're talking about Tiananmen Square?
Tiananmen Square, yes.
Yeah. Which I love that picture of that dude standing in front of that whole
in front of the tank. Tiananmen Square.
That's like the most powerful picture I've ever seen.
But in China, if you showed that, you are considered a bad person.
Well, like, check this out. It's part of your history. You can't even Google it. You can't even Google Tiananmen Square in China. It will yield no results.
Wow.
You won't get anything.
Well, and that's where we're headed, America, because TPP is going to make us fucking not be able to see shit or what the truth is. Yep. All you want is honest answers, right?
Yeah. And yet all you guys sitting at home, you wait for people like me and Nick to do everything for you. And you can't do that because I'll tell you what, me and Nick aren't going to do everything for you because we can't. We need it's essential that you guys act. If you don't act, say goodbye to your freedoms. I'll just tell you right now. If you just sit at home and you like to wait for other people to do shit for you, then watch it go down the toilet. Your lack of personal responsibility will be your demise for sure.
So spread love, homies, because we got to spread freedom.
For sure.
The idea of freedom is like gone now. Like, we want to be taken care of.
It's almost becoming
uncool. What's it
going to
make it do for us? But you know what else? I've noticed, like, everyone I talk to, like, I don't have the same political ideals as most of my family members or whatever, but what we can agree on is there isn't a good fucking presidential candidate anymore. It's a fucking joke now.
They're so lame.
Right?
They're a joke. They're all a joke. Yeah. Well, your score can also suffer. Oh, this part is the creepiest
juicy
part.
Give me the juice.
Okay, so this is where it really ties into cultural Marxism, okay? Your score can also suffer by associating with people with lower scores. Let that sink in.
Okay. Let me be the devil's advocate on this, because part of me kind of fucking likes this a little bit. Like, when I go camping and I go up to the fucking Kern River and I drive hours to go and I hike for fucking miles to go fish and I see graffiti on the fucking rocks and trash everywhere, I go, who the fuck are these pieces of shit? I would like to know.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're not going to have those pieces of shit in a free society.
No, I'm talking about, this is real. It happens in America right now.
We're not a free society.
But dude, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
But what?
That fucking tag everything.
Did this happen?
In nature, it's beautiful out.
Yeah.
And I gotta see fucking little Joker 99 or this whatever the happen. Fuck.
Most of these guys are people that are on the dole, right? Probably collecting welfare, right? So what we can assume is that as the state gets bigger and more people are doing this, you're going to see more of that. You want to take that away? More individual responsibility. That causes more appreciation for others' work, more appreciation for the beauty of nature, I believe. I really believe that kind of stuff will diminish.
The point I'm trying to make, I guess, is I don't mind a little bit of shaming motherfuckers, putting shame on those people. And I don't need the government to get involved to do that. But I think as a population, like, if I caught somebody leave, like, okay, I think I told this story one time. We were in Laughlin, and there's these white trash motherfuckers on the beach in Laughlin, and they just left their trash everywhere.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sorry if this is a racist thought, but because they were white, all the white people were like, hey, motherfucker, pick your trash up. Don't leave that shit there. And like, these were like, it was a family, like little kids and everything.
Yeah. Where was it again?
Laughlin.
Okay.
And we're hanging out by the little river there, hanging out. But I don't think other, and it doesn't even have to be, I think our thing unhooked. Okay. What I'm saying is Americans, everybody, doesn't matter what race you are, we need to check ourselves. Neighbors, whatever. If you're fucking being a piece of shit, fucking stand up and say something, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't need the state coming in and giving me a fucking credit score because I didn't, I spit my gum out on the sidewalk, so no. I got a 7-10 or whatever.
No, the more you depend on the state, the more, the state loves your attention.
But in this situation, I was in Laughlin, we're hanging out on the beach, hanging out, and this fucking family, like, just, like, left their trash, and we're gonna leave. Just like I'm talking about when I go to Kernville or whatever, and I go camping. Nobody was there to say something and judge you.
Yeah.
But, dude, I seen the fucking shame in those people. They went, they picked themselves up, and they were embarrassed. And guess what? I guarantee you, those fucking kids of that family, they're not going to leave their fucking shit on a beach somewhere.
That's good. For sure.
So, as a society, if we fucking care about where we live, fucking speak up.
Yeah.
If I seen the motherfucker tagging the rocks and leaving their fucking beer bottles on there, you're goddamn right I'm saying something, or we're throwing down. I don't care. And yeah. I hate to get to violence, but that's disgusting to me.
Yeah. To me, it's a balance of, like, teaching and, like, what I would call, like, love, I guess. I would probably be like, hey, dude, that's not cool, blah, 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 wouldn't get elevated at all, and then be like, hey, man, if you're not going to do it, you know, us that really care about this world, we'll do it for you. I'll pick it up. You know, but just so you know, you're making this world a worse place, and I'm trying to make it a better place. Have a good day.
No.
You know, because I believe that, like, good words, they'll work way better than if you got in a fight with somebody.
No, and that's not what I want to try to do. But this situation when I was in Laughlin, there's like this family, you know, white trash, whatever you want to call it. And they had their little barbecue, whatever, you know, family event, and they were leaving. And quite a few people were like, hey, are you leaving? Hey, you're going to leave all that there? And they put them on blast.
Good.
And I was very proud of
good.
All the people who stood up and said something.
We are supposed to govern ourselves. Right? We don't need them to govern us. We're in a free society, we govern ourselves. And that's exactly what happened. That was a beautiful example of it.
Just like the neighbor bitch who's complaining about my dog barking. You know, I don't want my dog to bother her.
You got to play a good... There's a balance there. If your dog is, in fact, you know, barking and be annoying... She doesn't have a right really to, she can't make you do anything because it's your property. But as
no,
as
there's a city ordinance to where barking dogs need to be silenced.
But do we believe in those that many laws? I don't.
Well, I just don't want to be the douchebag neighbor
whose dog barks all the time. So as such, we don't want more laws. And if we don't, then we should act responsibly.
Yeah.
So that's why you're asking about how to train it.
But yeah, I'm trying to find ways that... Because
you agree that mitigating that problem is in both of your best interests.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to be the douchebag neighbor. I know, like, if there's times when I got to work nights and I'm home and the barking dog and all that, it's annoying.
And you don't... And here's something, too. You don't want annoying neighbors, so you don't want to be an annoying neighbor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what, dude? Like, I'm pretty cool with, like, most of my neighbors. The neighbor next to me and the neighbor behind me, like, when they leave town, they're like, hey, Nick, can you watch my pad, dude? Or if I get a shipment, I'm supposed to get something, can you watch? Like, we're all cool with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, what I've always wanted. Like, be cool with people around you, man.
For sure.
So
I just try to be cool to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. And even my enemies, I try to help out. But the second I get crossed, I will check somebody, you know. Like, it's not to be mistaken for weakness. Mm-hmm. It's not at all. But I just try to find other avenues to do it. Yeah. Let me finish this. I got a few more lines to read. So your score in this Sesame credit will be accessible to anyone, and it'll show a map of your associations. This essentially uses social pressure and the desire for social acceptance to control the behavior of the citizens. Let's
Sweet.
Take a little bit of a break.
Yeah, let's before we put this on, absorb that. Take that information and absorb that, please.
Please.
People you hang out with. In. And who knows how... is our mics popping in and out or what?
I don't know. Just don't move it. We got to get new cords.
Yeah. We're having a cord problem, homies. Yeah. Anyways, let that absorb and think about that. People you hang out with, actions you might do. If it doesn't go with the government's agenda, there goes your credit score. There goes you buying a new vehicle.
Guess what? You guys just scored less
or a new apartment.
You listened to the Beacon podcast.
Yeah. How they dare you?
They could tell if you listened to the Beacon podcast and you just scored less. Do you feel free? How's that feel? Do you feel controlled? Do you feel, you know, how is your, if you believe in a soul, how is your soul ever supposed to roam free? You know, you're supposed I could go off, but any other human being that tries to tell me how to behave, we're going to go to war.
Well, let's have a little jam session.
All right, guys. So I'm very, very concerned about what tomorrow's people will be. Tomorrow people, how long?
she burns so dark. If there is no love in her heart, so sorry, then there is no hope for you. Tomorrow, people, where is your best? Tomorrow, people, how long will you last? Come on, tomorrow, people, where is your best? Tomorrow, people, how long will you last? Let me so you're in the air, but you still don't have a thing to spare. You're flying high while we're on the low.
Which direction are we going, people? More freedom or less? Think about it.
Telling the same story.
Tomorrow, people. Okay, so this comes to you from the BBC, which is Western propaganda media. Yeah.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You're on. Yeah.
God, we got
Stop
cord problems.
Stop messing with the cord. Just talk.
We got to put some dielectric grease on these motherfuckers. All right. Just think about tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Having kids, whatever. What life are we leaving for the next generation?
It's up to us. See, here's the thing that most people
are
selfish.
Are they going to be a free generation?
Well, if you're a selfish person, it doesn't matter to you. Like, as long as you're okay right now.
I'm going to take a selfie.
Yeah, as long as you're okay right now. But what most people don't understand is...
I had a taco for lunch.
Yeah. In order to...
Petra, I bet.
But our children's... I don't even plan really on probably having kids.
I put stuff on my lips.
But... The future generations awesome. Of kids depend on us making the right decisions.
Mall. I'm going to the mall toilet.
Yeah, it's
there's another picture of myself in front of
I honestly, even though like gorgeous girls do that, I can't. Do they make me so fucking sick?
Oh my God.
Can you believe that?
Here's me in front of the mall.
And I hate the bitchy attitude, like the I'm so important
attitude. Oh my God, I can't believe Mason is so crotty.
I'll tell you what, the humble attitude, whether it's guys or girls, I'll hang out with those people all fucking day. Just because they're humble, you know? I can't stand that. I can't stand that selfish, like... self-absorbed
I'm so hot.
Attitude.
Oh my God, nobody likes that. Oh my God, I should be in front of a lot.
God.
Everybody, gross. God. Sorry. I don't know what got me on that, but...
it's gross.
But okay. All I want to say is, you know, that song was talking about tomorrow, like, how are we going to leave this place for tomorrow? You know, are we promoting freedom forever? It just sucks thinking about a society of people who are just fucking drones, brainwashed motherfuckers that just push the button.
I love that quote from The Gladiator. And he probably got it from, because a lot of these movies do like a pretty good amount of research.
Are you talking about Saber?
No, he says.
Or Lightning?
He says, what American we do Gladiator, in this right? life echoes in eternity.
Which American Gladiator said that?
No, not American Gladiator. Oh. The movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe.
I was thinking about Saber and Lightning. And
no, Nitro.
Nitro, yeah.
Ice.
Ice.
No, not that. Gladiator. Mm. He said, what we do in this life echoes in eternity. That's why we're doing the podcast, peeps.
So Russell Crowe said that, or?
I don't know who originally said it, but he said it on the movie.
The actor.
Let me get this.
What we do in this life echoes for eternity.
In eternity.
Eternity, eternity, eternity. Echoes, echoes, echoes.
In most countries, the existence of a credit system isn't controversial. Past financial information is used to predict whether individuals will pay their mortgages or credit card bill in the future. But China is taking the whole concept a few steps further. The Chinese government is building an omnipotent social credit system that is meant to rate each citizen's trustworthiness. By 2020, everyone in China will be enrolled in a vast national database that compiles fiscal and government information, including minor traffic violations, and distills it into a single number ranking each citizen. That system isn't in place yet. For now, the government is watching how 8 Chinese companies issue their own social credit scores under the state-approved pilot projects. One of the most high-profile projects is the Sesame Credit, the financial wing of Alibaba. With 400 million users, Alibaba is the world's biggest online shopping platform. It's using its unique database of consumer information to compile individual social credit scores. Users are encouraged to flaunt their good credit scores to friends and even potential mates. China's biggest matchmaking service, Baihe, has teamed up with Sesame to promote clients with good credit scores, giving them prominent spots on the company's website. A person's appearance is very important, explains Baihe's vice president, Zhuan Yirong. But it's important to be able to make a living. Your partner's fortune guarantees a comfortable life. More and more of Baihe's 90 million clients are displaying their credit scores in their dating profiles, doing away with the idea that a credit score is a private matter. However, Sesame Credit will not divulge exactly how it calculates its credit scores, explaining that it is a complex algorithm. The company refused to give an interview to the BBC, citing concerns that the government would refuse to grant a permanent license to issue credit scores if it engaged with the foreign media. Instead, their spokeswoman issued a statement discounting persistent rumors that the organization monitors users' social media activity when assessing their social credit, which is bullshit. Sesame Credit tracks, quote-unquote, financial and consumption activities of our users, and materials published on social media platforms do not affect our users' personal Sesame Credit score, explained spokeswoman Miranda Sheck. Sesame rates the online financial transactions of those using Alibaba's payment system, in addition to data it obtains from its partners, including the taxi service Didi Kwadi, rating whether users bothered to settle taxi payments. So this is kind of going into what you said about Uber, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Controversially, this company does not hide that it judges the type of products shoppers buy online. Someone who plays video games for 10 hours a day, for example, would be considered an idle person, and someone who frequently buys diapers would be considered as probably a parent who, on balance, is more likely to have a sense of responsibility. Li Yingyun,
or maybe somebody who doesn't know how to use condoms.
Right. Sesame's technology director told Kiaxin, a Chinese magazine, in February. The Chinese authorities are watching the pilot process very carefully. The government system won't be exactly the same as the private systems, but government officials are certainly taking cues from the algorithms developed under private projects. A lengthy planning document from China's elite state council explains that social credit will forge a public opinion environment that trust keeping is glorious. Warning that the new system will reward those who report acts of breach of trust. Sounds very Hitlerish to me. Details on the inner workings of the system are vague, though it is clear that each citizen and Chinese organization will be rated. A long list of people in certain professions will face particular scrutiny, including teachers, accountants, journalists, and medical doctors. The special list even includes veterinarians and tour guides. A national database will merge a wide variety of information on every citizen, assessing whether taxes and traffic tickets have been paid, whether academic degrees have been rightly earned, and even, it seems, whether females have been instructed to take birth control. Critics say the social credit system is nightmarish and Orwellian. However, some believe that some kind of credit system is badly needed in China. And I'll save you the rest, because then it gets into propaganda on how China actually could benefit from a social crediting system, because it's the BBC. And BBC is a Western propaganda rag, and they are going to try to convince us of what's eventually coming here. That's why they're saving face. Nick, would you mind reading what you have?
Yeah, dude. So we got one from IBT. It's a post from Michelle Flor Cruz from Twitter, I guess. But you know what I was thinking about as we judge ourselves as humans and who's good and who's bad? Do you like hockey?
I'm impartial to it.
Okay. Well, hockey's the shit. I love hockey. I'm going to take you to a hockey game. Okay? Because we always talk about societies checking themselves. Like, hey, if they, you know, let's say it's a neighborhood or you know, whatever you want to do. A few years back, I took a bunch of buddies of mine from work to a hockey game. And not thinking about it, like, they hadn't been to a hockey game before. It's a lot different than going to a football game or a baseball game. For weird reasons, okay? Like, hockey fans are big on it, right? Mm-hmm. You think, oh, I paid my money, I'm just going to get my nachos, I'm going to take a piss, whatever. In hockey, if you get up while the puck is in play and you stand up and you're blocking people's view,
people are like, hey!
They will fucking let you know. You better believe it.
Yeah, I heard about
it. And that. I forgot about that. I when we went to a game, you know, it was a Kings game. Great game. Had a great time. And they're like, dude, what? Everyone's yelling at us because we're fucking just taking a piss and getting beers. Like, oh, dude, you got to fucking wait until the puck's out and not in play. You guys, what the fuck? You
know, crazy,
but it was my fault for not saying anything. But I have a lot of respect for that. Like, hey, in this neighborhood, this is how we do it, or whatever.
You just have to piss. What if you're bleeding?
Well, all they're going to do is just say, hey, what the fuck? You know, you're not getting kicked out or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you come back, they're not going to let you sit down until the puck is out of play.
And it's actually enforced by the stadium.
It, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But if you go to a basketball game or a baseball game, it's not like that, you know.
Well, the puck can be in play for how long on average?
All you need is to get a bad call or whatever. Maybe 4 minutes, 6 minutes.
4 minutes. So
yeah.
So and the reason being because it's so small of an object, people are tracking it.
Yeah.
And to interrupt
and
that,
they want to watch the game.
And to interrupt that could lose their visual tracking of that small object. Is that the reason?
Maybe a minute, because like normally it depends on the game. But if they ice the puck and just shoot it out the fucking to the back, then it's going to get called out. And then everyone comes and sits down and they got to drop the puck.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. You're saying that...
But in that sport, those people let you know, like, hey, it's disrespectful to fucking stand up in the middle of the fucking game. We paid money to watch this. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, you know, as social status. Does this come across okay? Like, in that sport, you don't disrespect the people around you by standing up and blocking their view when they paid as much money as you to go see something.
Well, if there's it comes back to your dog. If there is a sense of personal responsibility, it's incumbent upon somebody to act appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, and in a society that is based off of, you know, cherishes like individual responsibility, then those things are going to be encouraged.
But let's say with the Sesame Credit, and you're a hockey fan, let's say he got up and took a piss in the middle of the game, and I think he needs to have his score lowered. Could that be an option?
Could be.
You know, because, you know, I go to more baseball games than anything, but which you just get up and piss and go get your nachos whenever you want.
Could be.
All right. So that was just a thought I had. Like, I respect that about hockey. Like, you respect the game. They respect the game.
And it's a fully private industry, which I really respect. But we're talking about people that have been socialized, you know, that are like, hey, now you got to do this, you know. I would tend to be a little forgiving just because that's who I am.
I'd
be
like, oh, and it's LA. Like, just go take a piss.
Yeah. You know? But that's just me.
But a part of me likes it. Like, don't get
up. I've never really belonged, like, and even less so now, but anytime anybody, like, ridicules somebody based off of, like, a popular belief, like, everybody in the hockey arena believes that, I usually tend to kind of resist it a little bit, because I'm fairly contrarian, just my nature.
And that's cool, because, like, what if the puck wasn't played the whole fucking time? You tell me you're never gonna piss?
Yeah. What if you're bleeding? Is what, you know?
Yeah. There's a little, like, scrambled jury, but it's all
good. You just start at the very bottom of that page.
So
this comes out. This is
IBT.
IBT. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is China to use big data to rate citizens in new social credit system.
This is just so you guys know that we're not making this up. These are mainstream articles, okay?
And I believe you could check this out on Twitter. Am I voicing good here? Michelle Flor Cruz on Twitter. Thank you for printing this out. How good a citizen are you? China hopes to answer that question for every one of its citizens with a numerical rating system based on their financial standing, criminal record, and social media behavior, which we had talked about earlier, like who you hang out with. And mm-hmm. You get a DUI, and there goes your fucking credit score.
Yeah. Well, supposedly, yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And who you hang out with. A new translation of government's plans for a so-called social credit system sheds light on how China aims to utilize big data to hold all citizens accountable for financial decisions as well as moral choices. Pretty crazy. China plans to roll out a citizen rating system has been in the works for years. Roger Kremers, a China expert at Oxford University, recently published a translation of a document circulated through various levels of government detailing the 6-year rollout of the program. According to a State Council notice, the central government hopes to have every adult in China assigned to a credit code in addition to a government-issued identity card by 2020. Accelerating the construction of a social credit system is an important basis for comprehensively implementing the scientific development view and building a harmonious socialist society, the memo reads, adding that it has important significance for strengthening the sincerity consciousness of the members of society, the guiding ideology. The name of subsection in the memo states that a key principle of the system is government promotion. So promoting whatever the government says.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
Amazing. While using financial, internet, and other data to evaluate individuals is not a new phenomenon, China will likely be the first nation to do it publicly and have the systemization of rationalization. Sorry. We got a little. I need to drink some water. Rationalization for doing so down to a numerical index. In an interview with Dutch newspaper De Volkskrant, Kramers draws similarities to the former East German system, but says the Chinese are taking it even further. I can drink some water. I'm getting dried out over here. But it's pretty crazy. I mean, this is crazy shit here.
Yep. And this is validation off of what we're saying, that this is a legit program, and it is happening. They are doing this in China. It will be mandatory.
In 4 years. 4 years.
By 2020.
But, I mean, hey, we're lucky we live in America, but who knows? I mean, governments kind of take from each other, right?
It's coming here if we don't do anything.
Okay, while using financial, internet... Okay, I already read that one. The German aim... So they talked about East Germany, right?
Yeah.
They made a light of that. Mm-hmm. The German aim was limited to avoiding a revolt against the regime. The Chinese aim is far more ambitious. It is clearly an attempt to create a new citizen. Kramers said in the interview, explaining that the program will incentivize specific behavior. This is a deliberate effort by the Chinese government to promote among citizens socialist core values such as patriotism, respecting the elderly, working hard, and avoiding extravagant consumption. Why is that a thing? Extravagant consumption?
Because it's socialist. Countries tend to not produce as much. And so they can't have people consuming
bullshit. Much. Cuba's fucking rocking it in the automotive industry. Nut.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But that's why.
In a more modern context, a closer comparison could be made with the U.S. National Security Agency's alleged data mining project PRISM, which former CIA contractor, Edward Snowden revealed as government access to user data at the country's biggest tech firms like Google, Apple, and Facebook, whereas Silicon Valley exceeds denied knowledge of the data mining scheme and said that if user information was being collected, it was without the company's knowledge. China wants its citizens to know they are being watched and that their standing in society will be affected by their behavior.
Amazing.
Damn it.
They want them to know, so they want to intimidate their people.
I mean, like...
It's an important thing. Continue. We'll talk about the. We'll.
I feel bad. I was thinking. Like, I feel bad for people in China. It's just.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I feel like Forrest Gump right now.
I may just start running. China,
people go.
Nick just started running.
Unlike in the West, in China, cooperation between tech firms and government is symbiotic, according to Kramer, and will likely continue when it comes to implementing the social credit system. Government and big internet companies in China can exploit big data together in a way that is unimaginable in the West, he said. Craziness. In fact, according to Dave Falkenstrand, Ant Financial, one of Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba's subsidiaries, recently began in its own rating system based on spending habits of users of the popular Alipay service, which rates a person's credit on a scale of 350 to 950. Scores are based not only on a user's lending and spending numbers, but also on what the money is going toward. Quote, if friends have a poor lending reputation, this reflects badly on the person, just as prolonged playing of video games, end quote, the report explains. Buying diapers indicates responsibility and scores therefore as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like Matt had talked about, you know, to use that as an example. Mm-hmm. But the thing about that is, if I'm a single guy who makes a lot of money and I want to play video games, cool. If I'm a poor motherfucker, like in America, every douchebag who lives in a fucking trailer park is having a kid.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have time to play video games.
That's the problem of top-down design, is that there's people that are, you know, at the head of state that believe that what they think is right is right. And they're able to dictate those things down through laws. That's why I don't believe.
How do they know that a CEO of a fucking company doesn't just like to play video games?
They don't. And unless, you know,
we dog video games early in the show. Okay?
Shit at that point, but
we like to dog video games a little bit here and there. But who, if that's what you want to do to relax and hang out, well, who gives a fuck?
As long, that's why I say, as long
you're not hurting anybody,
nobody else, go for it.
But
you're not.
If you're a nerd that's not getting no pussy, and you're just playing your video games, and you're working your job, and you're paying your taxes, someday you might meet some nice lady, and then start a family.
Yeah.
Just because any dumb motherfucker could have a kid, right? And I feel like there's a big problem in America.
Yeah.
Anyways. Just because you buy diapers, you're a fucking better person?
No.
How many diapers have I bought this last year? Fucking none. Guess what?
Guess what? None for me. And I think I'm a pretty cool guy. Trying to help.
Keep thinking that.
You're wrong. State says you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, if you can't afford kids, don't fucking have kids.
Yeah.
But anybody can afford a fucking video game.
Yeah, I agree.
And diapers aren't that fucking expensive.
They're kind of expensive.
Go to Costco. Dude, have you not been to a fucking a million baby showers in your life?
Too many.
You get 8 million fucking diapers.
Too many.
Fuck, and after a couple years, if your kid can't wipe his own ass, sorry. The kid's got problems. All right, so to finish this report,
kid gets
off,
bad credit score.
Bad credit for you, son. You're going to be working at Taco Bell forever. It certainly feels... Okay, so quote, it certainly feels about as Orwellian as your nightmares would have it to be, end quote. Michael Ferrick, a Silicon Valley entrepreneur and author of, quote, The Reputation Economy, end quote, told Volkschrant. It's exactly what any command state would like to do with data. Pretty wild, dude. Fucking wild, dude.
Yeah, and what any command state would like to do with data is that credit sesame is really...
Do you say data or data?
Sorry, sesame credit.
Data or data?
Data.
It's the same. I said both in the fucking when I was reading that shit.
So what's interesting about this, sometimes I know that some of the Western stuff kind of likes to just mess with us and fuck with our brains, but there is an actual credit scoring company in America called Credit Sesame.
Sesame.
And the Chinese one is called Sesame Credit.
Yeah. Well, they own us anyway.
You can look it up, but it's called Credit Sesame, and they have... the website looks almost the same as Sesame Credit.
Equinox and all that. Oh, fuck.
It's just weird. So, I don't know. I just came across that while I was looking through this stuff.
But, hey, what's the point? Hey, yeah. Okay. Am I a douche for thinking this? Like... None of this matters. Money doesn't fucking matter. We give value to what we want value to have, like
in a properly aligned world.
Hey, if I want to just go out and shoot a deer and eat it and live my life like that, we can do that. We really don't need... Do we need governments telling us? Do we need a certain type of currency in this planet?
Do you need to be scored based on your behavior?
No,
to other people,
we do not.
I would agree with that, but I believe in freedom. Yeah. So, it's kind of scary stuff when you look into it, but do you see how we kind of took that whole process from Pavlov to Skinner to how Skinner's methods have been used to condition people in maybe even a video game realm, to where video game designers are starting to design social credit systems that reward you based off of certain actions, and how that is actually, it's using Skinner's methods to control society. And so that's where I was kind of trying to go with this. And
don't be a pigeon. Don't turn to the fucking food.
Always think for yourself. And with everything that you listen to on the Beacon Podcast, do your own due diligence. Study it for yourself. We're going to leave you guys with maybe some forward thinking about how the future could be / would be. And we ask for your guys' help.
And please hit us up on Twitter and Facebook, because we love the feedback. We've been getting great feedback on Twitter.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome.
Good shit. Great shit.
Yeah, we were very encouraged, and you guys let us know that we should continue, you know?
Yes. And we've been having a great time. Matt, thanks for letting me be a part of the show. You started this all.
And, it's been great.
You are a student of the Constitution, which I really appreciate. But I would like to tell our listeners, be a part of this. All right? Do something. Like, we did a How to Do Your Own Podcast. I would love to hear if you've started your own podcast so I can listen to you guys or gals, you know. Hit us up.
For
if
sure.
There's something you're worried about, like, I got a little bit of feedback about electromagnetic pulse, like shutting the country down, killing a lot of people.
Oh, nice.
On the show, on Twitter. That was on a Twitter feed.
Was it?
Yeah, and
cool.
I have you heard about those at all?
Yeah, EMPs.
EMPs, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's something we might look into.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that, yeah. So we might do a show on some EMPs, but you got to do a little bit more studying on that.
Yeah.
What that implies.
And we really try to do our due diligence. We try to, like, put together a good show, like, and so if we were to do a show on it, we would probably, you know, be doing quite a bit of research on,
yes,
that stuff. And that's good, because that's stuff I've wanted to study anyway, so it allows me it's like every new episode I get to get a new hobby.
Exactly. Something,
you know what I mean?
But like, where were we at? Okay. Twitter at the Beacon Podcast.
Oh yes, we are at we're on
Facebook.
Let me right next to that tower right there has all of our exact addresses. You see that tower on top? I got a stack of the cards over there. I just don't want to give you guys bad wrong information.
Well, I mean, if you've heard the other shows, you already know what to do. But Twitter is at Beacon Podcast. Facebook is The Beacon Podcast, and you can find us on iTunes. Email us at thebeaconpodcast@gmail.com. That's what we would love to hear from everybody. Hit us up. If you disagree, say something. Bring it on.
Bring it on. We believe in free speech.
Yes.
We believe in the right to argue, the right to petition, not just your government, but each other. We think the First Amendment is there to piss off each other.
Yeah.
Because that's the way we grow. We grow when we're challenged. So please, bring it on.
So if you don't like the show, fuck you. And if you're in a rad band and you want to have your music displayed on our show, that's another good thing. You know, like, we love having great bands on the show, new ideas. It's just all about having fun and promoting freedom. That's our goal. Hopefully the Kings whoop some ass this year. as we were talking about hockey earlier. Matt, I gotta take you to a fucking hockey show.
Okay.
Why did I call it a show? Hockey game. Yeah, I'll sing about music at the same time.
But okay, also, guys, we are absolutely big believers on this show in the absolute failure of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. dollar. In saying that, we believe it's very important for our listeners to know how important we think it is to have some personal precious metals in your possession. Whether you bury it, have it in your pocket, have it in your house, have it in a safe, whatever you choose to do with it. But
I put it on my teeth.
in your teeth, whatever. But
I call them teeths.
We think it's absolutely essential because that is the holder of value in society throughout history. And please, if you guys are considering buying some gold or silver, or if you just want to talk to people that are extremely educated about it, please call Swiss America Trading. Area code 602-788-4653. Ask for Gary Belson and tell them that you heard about them by listening to the Beacon podcast. Please. You'll be glad that you did something to prepare for the probable eventual collapse of the U.S. dollar. It will not affect you nearly as severe as it would affect somebody who did not preserve their wealth in investing in this stuff. We really believe in this. So please, and if you don't call Swiss America Trading, call somebody else. But Swiss America Trading is, in my opinion, it's the best out there. And they'll talk to you. They're like-minded people. They believe in freedom. And they understand the complexities that are going on with America right now, and they're on your side. So, please. Nick, if you don't have anything else, I'll give the little intro to our outro.
Right on. Hey, thank you for listening to the show. Thanks for downloading, and we love you.
We do love you guys. Okay, so exiting piece, this is extrapolating what could happen if China's system runs even just a little bit successful and they continue with it. Okay, Beacon Podcast, we love you guys so much. Peace.
Okay, anyway, so beyond technology, there's all these other ways that games are creeping into places we didn't think about. Fantasy football's been around forever. It used to be a nerdly game for nerdly nerds. Now everyone plays it. Your grandmother probably plays fantasy football. Like, everybody is playing it. It's just everywhere. It's a game that leeches off a game. Geocaching. Because it's cooler to go for a walk in the woods when there's a treasure chest at the end. The Simpsons had their 20th anniversary, and Fox said, we're going to do a scavenger hunt. In each of the shows we have this week, we're going to hide a Simpsons reference in every show. Watch all the shows, find the references, and we'll give you a prize. Watching television became a game. DARPA wanted to figure out what are people able to figure out through crowdsourcing, so they made a game. They put these red balloons all over the country and said, let's see who can find them first. And everybody raced to find the red balloons and did DARPA's research for them. Weight Watchers, they have this whole point system, which is very much like a game. And if anybody has the new Ford hybrid car, okay, I got it. It's got a speedometer, and then it's got a gas gauge. And what are those leaves? What the hell is that? The more gas you save, the more the plant grows. They put a virtual pet in your car, and it changes the way people drive. Games have crept out, and they're going everywhere. Right? Oh, and so, but now here's a question I'm going to put to you. Who do you think is designing these games? Skilled game designers? No, not really. Just like whoever's there is doing it. Imagine if skilled game designers get a hold of these kinds of things. Lee Sheldon is a great example. He's a game designer, some of you I'm sure know. He's teaching at University of Indiana now. And one of the first things he did was, you know what, this grading system kind of sucks. Because school's a game, right? You go, you get scores, you take, you know, and you come out, there's a leaderboard, you know. And he said, I'm going to do this better. He doesn't give out grades for each assignment. He gives out experience points. And you level up through the class. And so class attendance is up, class participation is up, homework is turned in often and better because it's a better structure, it's a better system. Imagine when the game designers get a hold of all this garbage, the gas points and the shopping points and your coffee points and your airline points, all these points and points and points. Imagine when they're all designed and then when they can be sensed. and these things start to come together a little bit. Because sensors are what's happening now. That's what's changing things. Natal is going to come out, and it's got cameras. It's going to sense every joint of your body. The DSI is out, and it's got cameras, and no one knows what they're for, but someone's going to figure it out. And technology keeps getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and there's going to be sensors everywhere detecting so many things in your life. And these things are going to be able to be used for gameplay. So we're moving on a road towards disposable technology. If anyone here ever bought a Furby, right? The Furby costs like $20, $30. It has more technology in it than they used to put a man on the moon. And many people have now thrown out their Furbies because it's like it's kind of dumb and they throw it out. It's disposable technology. We're, before too long, going to get to the point where every soda can, every cereal box is going to be able to have a CPU, a screen, and a camera on board it, and a Wi-Fi connector so that it can be connected to the internet. And what will that world be like? Well, I think it'll be like this. You'll get up in the morning to brush your teeth. And the toothbrush can sense that you're brushing your teeth. And so, hey, good job for you. 10 points for brushing your teeth. And it can measure how long, and you're supposed to brush them for 3 minutes, and you did. Good job, you brushed your teeth for 3 minutes. And so you get a bonus for that. And hey, you brushed your teeth every day this week, another bonus. And right, and who cares? The toothpaste company, the toothbrush company, the more you brush, the more toothpaste you use, they have a vested financial interest. You go to breakfast, there's the cornflakes. On the back, there's a little web game that you can play. While you eat, instead of reading the back, you play a game while you eat your cornflakes. And you get that, and you get 10 points just for eating the cornflakes. And then it turns out you can see your list of friends who also have cornflakes and the scores that they got because your Wi-Fi and Facebook connected and everything. And so, you know, you get 5 bonus points because you just beat out one of your friends at the cornflakes game. So then you go and you get on the bus. The bus? Why am I taking the bus? You're taking the bus because the government has started giving out all kinds of bonus points to people who use public transportation. And you can use these points for tax incentives. And while you're sitting on the bus riding to work and you're playing your little Tetris and getting a few points here and there, you suddenly remember, I had this dream last night. I had a dream that my mother was dancing with this giant Pepsi can. And then you realize, oh yeah, the REMtertainment system, right? Which is the thing you put in your ear and it can sense when you enter REM sleep. And then it starts putting little advertisements out there to try and influence your dreams. And then you can fill out a little form. It's a test to see if those things came through into your dreams. And if they did, then big points for you, right? And you can use these points at the grocery store or whatever. And you get to work on time. Good job. Excellent. You got to work on time. And you get a special bonus, I don't know, for something else. Maybe because you've been there on time all week. And then there's your office mate. And he's like, check out, I got the new digital tattoo, right? It's a tattoo that you can change the image because it's got like e-ink in it in your arm, right? So you can change the image all the time to whatever you want. But a lot of people are using Tattoogle AdSense, right? And so he's got the ads up. And you're thinking, you're really dumb because Tattoogle AdSense has light sensors in it. And so that when your arm is covered, you're not going to get any money from people seeing the ads. And you show them how yours is lower on the arm, so it's more exposed, so you get more points for it. And just then, you realize that the two of you have your ads suddenly synchronized just by chance. And so, you know, you say, link sync! And you get 30 points for noticing a link sync that the two of us had that. And he says, Pop-Tarts, because they're both Pop-Tart ads. And the system is listening, and it can tell that we said Pop-Tarts. And then we do high five, because the body electricity sensors can tell when you do a high five, and that's the rule. That's how the game works. That when the ads line up, because it makes you pay more attention to the ads, because that's how these games will work. The games will be tricking you to pay more attention to ads. So then you go to lunch, and you've had Dr. Peppers all week, and so you know you got to have another Dr. Pepper, because you got 10 points, 10 points, 10 points, 10 points, and then you have another one, and there's another one, but you know there's a special with Dr. Pepper this week. If you have 5 Dr. Peppers in a week, 500 bonus points, so you're definitely going to take advantage of that. And then you got a meeting at another building. It's a half a mile away. And you could take the shuttle over, but you decide, I'm going to walk because the health insurance plan that you're on gives you bonus points if you walk like more than a mile each day. And we can sense that easily, you know, through your digital shoes. And if you get your heart rate up about a certain amount, then you get more bonus points from your health insurance company. So then you're going shopping on the way home, and man, this is like a place you can get a lot of points, and it's really complicated, so you don't figure it out. You let your, like, your app figure it out. It, like, looks at all the point systems you have, it looks at what you want, and then it tells you which ones to buy in order to get, ooh, wow, a lot of points, just because I make good choices shopping. And then you get home, and your daughter's like, oh, I got my report card. And you're like, oh, good job, you're getting 2,000 points from the state for getting such good grades, and you're getting 5,000 as a parent from the Obama bonus for the good parenting bonus, which you're excited because you can use that as tax relief. And then you say, hey, wait a minute, did you practice your piano? And she's like, yeah, I practiced my piano. Well, what score did you get? He's like, oh, well, I got 150,000. 150,000, that's the best you've ever had on that particular sonata. That's 9,000 points given by the Arts Council for your scholarship fund. So, you know, go you, right? And then you go and watch television, and, like, I don't even want to talk about this. It's just points, because there's eye sensors, right, that can tell when you're watching the ads. So you want to watch the ads, certain ads especially, because you're going to get points for them. And your remote has a little screen on it and with a little camera, so you can kind of be live chat with other people you know are watching the show, and you play all these games, and you get all these points while you watch television. That would be a very natural thing to do. Then finally, oh, the day's over, you're going to bed, you sit down with your new Kindle 3.0, which of course has the eye tracking sensor in it that can tell what you've read and how much you've read of the book. And it's important to read the whole book because then if you leave a review on Amazon, you'll get super bonus points if it knows you read the whole book through. And as you finish the book, you're very surprised. Oh, did I mention that Microsoft acquired Amazon a couple of years back? But they did. And you get an achievement unlocked. This thing's been tracking you for 20 years. You've finished 500 novels. And this is like a big achievement. And you're thinking, I'm really embarrassed that my 500th novel was this dumb Star Trek novel that I'm reading. Because, like, I'm going to remember that forever. And then you start thinking about all these achievements and points and things and realizing that, you know, you have no idea what books your grandparents read or where they went on their daily basis. But these sensors that we're going to have on us and all around us and everywhere are going to be tracking and watching what we're doing forever. And our grandchildren will know every book that we read. That legacy will be there, will be remembered. And you get to thinking about how, wow, is it possible maybe that since all this stuff is being watched and measured and judged, that maybe I should change my behavior a little bit and be a little better than I would have been? And so it could be that these systems are just all crass commercialization and it's terrible, but it's possible that they'll inspire us to be better people if the game systems are designed right. Anyway, I'm not sure about all that, but I do know this stuff is coming. Man, it's gotta come. What's gonna stop it?
as those thinking more, less, less is more. But if less is more, how you keeping score? It means for every point you make, your level drops. Kinda like you're starting from the top. You can't do that, society. You're a crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me, society. Crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me, society. Have mercy on me. I hope you're not angry if I disagree, society.